What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Monday, November 6th, 2017. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the Pure One, at Tim Geddes.
Let Tim host.
Now, what's the deal with these LaCroix?
There's
a new LaCroix.
There is a new LaCroix. It's not this.
Not even flavor-wise. You've drank normal cans of LaCroix forever. Now you're coming in with these skinny bitch cans.
These skinny bitch cans, there's three flavors. Well, technically four with the cola flavor. Like weird mixes. I've just been very avoidant of them. I was like, I'm not going to do this. Because at one point, Gio was like, I don't like them. So I took that as gospel.
Sure.
But now I've tried them. And two out of three of them, I'm cool with.
I just don't like these cans that look like this.
Me neither.
You know what I mean?
Don't get me
wrong,
man.
What is this skinny bitch can trying to prove to me?
I don't know.
All right? I want a good squat can that looks like a Budweiser. I want a can that served the people of this great nation and world for years and decades, maybe even millennia.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, these guys come in here. And it all starts with the Red Bull folks. Yep, these Red Bull guys had to be
different.
But
Red Bull owns it. Like, good for them. But those are also tinier than this.
Another thing about Red Bull, too. Just drop the squiggly line commercial cartoons. They've never been funny. We've never liked them. I don't mind the tagline. I'm just saying stop with the... They still do that because I don't watch TV much anymore.
I doubt it.
If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy news you need to know about before giving you perspective, answering your questions, reading bad PSN names, and having a good time because that's what best friends do. If you like that, you can watch live on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. However, we don't look at the chat. We're making a polished podcast. If you want to contribute to the show, write in anytime at kindafunny.com/KFGD. If you're watching live and we screw something up, we need you to set the record straight at kindafunny.com/you'rewrong. So everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindafunny and listen to games, Kinda Funny Games, and listening on podcast services around the globe, get a polished podcast that has no mistakes in it. We'll read your wrong things at the end of it. Right before we went live, this nose started twitching, and then this nostril now totally shut down.
Uh-oh.
This is like an Apollo 13 nostril situation.
Yeah.
We're radioing back to Houston. Like, what happened? We're selling the mission. We're on the directory. You know what I mean? Like, we're up in the stratosphere now.
Mm-hmm.
We can't worry about it.
I feel you.
Housekeeping for you. Y'all did an amazing job at Extra Life. Thank you so much for watching us stream 24 hours of games on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames throughout the weekend. Thank you to everyone in the community who streamed before us for the community streams, after us for the community streams. Together, Team Kinda Funny has raised more than $76,000. Maybe even more than that. Less than I check.
Now it is
$77,901.
So we are $99 away from $78,000.
That wasn't enough crazy Extra Life streaming for you. Remember this Saturday, because I got challenged on our stream. I am flying to Maryland along with Joey Noel and Jean-Vieux Saint-Ange Miller and Portillo Miller. We are going to the Irrational Passions Extra Life stream run by Alex O'Neill. I'll be playing games and streaming there too. It's going to be at least... I haven't had time today. The internet's falling apart here in the world. In the United States, Comcast is having problems. I need to reach out. Everybody message Alex O'Neill and ask him... Does he want to? I think it would help us out. We can give him a boost to Irrational Passions, you know, broadcast radius if we just streamed it on the Kinda Funny Games account.
Yeah.
But if he wants to still do it on Irrational Passions account, we understand on Twitch. We'll just host that.
I think it makes the most sense to have it on ours and then push his stuff so that the best friends, if they're not familiar, know to go over there.
I think the best way to do it is that we sell ads on his content, and he just keeps making the content, but we get the money, and then we pay him some of it. Just some of it, though. Not all of it.
Just some of it.
Not a lot of it, but some of it.
I mean, you're getting ahead of it, but I like where your head's at. But one thing is very clear, Greg. We're pretty much $22,000 away from our goal of $100,000.
Sure.
And I think the best friends can get us there this weekend.
Oh, my God. This weekend?
The weekend that you're in Maryland.
I know, but I was doing like this table.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
So we'll see.
More streaming this weekend, a lot of games. Maybe I'll actually platinum Destiny there. I think that's going to be a more gamey stream, but I always think it's going to be gamey. And then at 4 in the morning, I'm telling you ghost stories on the ground. Who knows? Also, heads up, just for me, if you're a Greg Miller fan, Cooking with Greggy's finale is today. Season finale of Cooking with Greggy Season 1. You can get it on youtube.com/kindafunny.
The thrilling season finale.
I saved the best for last. Spanish thighs and chorizo. It's a hell of a
Spanish
dish.
Spanish thighs?
Chicken thighs.
Oh.
I mean, you're not a human being. Or are you? You don't know. And then, of course, but I'm telling you right now, next Monday is going to be Cooking with Greggy Day. You guys have every episode of Cooking with Greggy now free on youtube.com/kindafunny. Everybody watch it. Pick your favorite recipe. Make it this week or the weekend. And then next Monday, tweet me photos along with the hashtag Cooking with Greggy. I'll retweet them out there to show what you guys have been up to. And plus, over on patreon.com/kindafunny that day, we're going to release Cooking with Greggy leftovers, all the funny bits we cut out beforehand.
Love that.
Enough of this shameless promotion.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm not. That is shameless. I don't care. Watch it. Let's start the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Are you that tired still?
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you really tired? Did you get some sleep over the weekend after Extra Life?
Yeah, but then I got to my house and there's that show that I like that Max Landis does.
Dirks Gently.
So that's what I did instead of sleeping.
Smart.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went to bed as soon as we got home. And I'm like, I'm just going to take 2 hours. And then I'm going to sleep for 2 hours. Try it. Because I needed to get some juice. But I didn't want to throw off the whole sleep schedule. Mm. Ended up sleeping for 3.5 hours. And it was one of those where I set the alarm. And I didn't have the recollection of waking up and turning off the alarm. I just woke up at 1:30 later on.
Yeah.
Then I played Horizon Zero Dawn.
Ooh.
The Frozen Wilds the rest of the time.
Can you talk about that?
I can. Embargo's up. Yeah, okay, yeah. Cool. I have to tell you, of course, to the FTC watching that this was provided by PlayStation. This copy.
Let me be me.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, let me be me, so let me see. It's great. Yeah. It's totally more Horizon. And it was that thing of, I jumped back in, I was like, oh, am I going to like this? Like, I loved Horizon, but it was like a moment in time at the beginning of the year. And you got back in it, and it's hard. You know what I mean? It's like, pick, you know, it, I forget I'm level 50. I'm max level. It adds 10 more levels. You can go up to level 60 now. You jump back in, and immediately, like, I had to start fighting stuff. So it was that thing, like, how do you fight in this game again? And after that one fight, it all clicked back in. And then I got, went and opened up the map with the new part of the map with the long neck. And I was like,
Hell yeah. Oh, more impressions to come.
Yeah.
On this week's Kinda Funny Games cast.
If you're watching live on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames, I would like to stream it this afternoon, but because the internet is just shit in the bed, is it going to download in time? Is there anything else? Stay tuned, everybody. For now, the first item on the Roper Report, Phil Spencer, Xbox Big Daddy, is popping off all over the internet.
Pop, pop.
Let's start at Bloomberg. There, he's talking about the fact of, I'll let Bloomberg tell you about it. The company plans to increase investment in developing in-house video games, including starting or acquiring studios to do so, Xbox chief Phil Spencer said in an interview last week. That's an about-face from its approach the past several years, during which Microsoft has shuttered studios, canceled games, and faced criticism at an industry conference from gamers for its lack of hot first-party titles. Quote, "We need to grow, and I look forward to doing that," Spencer said. "Our ability to go create content has to be one of our strengths. Mm-hmm. We haven't always invested at the same level. We've gone through ups and downs in the investment," end quote. Microsoft on Tuesday will start selling the Xbox One X, a high-end console targeted at hardcore gamers. Jumping a bit ahead. As Microsoft's Xbox devices continue to be outsold by rival Sony Corp's PlayStation, the Redmond, Washington-based company is also changing the way it measures success in the Xbox business, away from console revenue and unit shipments, toward more closely watching sales of games, subscriptions, and related services. Not just on Xbox machines, but on iPhones, Android devices, and personal computers. The company now tracks monthly active users and revenue from software and services, and is looking at opportunities such as further expansion of Xbox Live online usage, esports, and game streaming. Quote, "This means fundamentally rethinking how we measure progress in gaming," Chief Executive Officer Satya Nadella said on a conference call with analysts last month. That changed focus lets Microsoft play to recent strengths. Xbox software and service revenue grew 21% last quarter, while console hardware sales dropped. Hardware sales will rise this quarter, owing to the new $500 Xbox One X model, and profit margins will narrow again because of the impact of the new hardware and company forecast. So right there, Tim, we're talking about growing. We're talking about bringing more studios, developers into this Xbox One thing, right? Getting more games exclusively to Xbox. Something Phil Spencer shied away from before, as he says here, but they need to grow and need to look forward to. Mm-hmm. How's that sit with you?
This is great news
overall.
There's a lot of interesting stuff in there from the other woman.
The CEO.
Yeah.
Satya.
Satya. It's a woman, right?
Satya, yes.
Yeah, okay. Talking about all of these things that we've kind of heard a lot about the last couple of weeks of the streaming and trying to figure out how Xbox can create a new Let's Play format. Like, remember we were talking about like the Until Dawn style thing of then, like, how can we figure it out that the Twitch streaming experience is thought of from the game level as well as the service level of what Xbox is doing. So when you combine that with them finally talking about admitting that they have a problem with first party output, I think that this is good, and this signifies at least a roadmap to a better future for Xbox to be able to quote unquote compete again with PlayStation, in the sense that they want they're not happy with being second and they want to have that fight again, you know?
100%. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what that does. You know, I think it was the CEO comments, Shannon Loftus got interviewed too as well. I was going to run there, hinting at, and she was saying that she's happy with the Xbox One X lineup as it is now, what they have, but teasing that they have more stuff coming next year and how that'll look. I didn't put it in as its own news story, of course, but you take that and you couple it in with these statements that they understand what they're doing. That gets, sounds like Xbox is getting aggressive again, which mm-hmm. I like a lot because competition, obviously. Now we're going to jump to the Wall Street Journal, where again, Phil Spencer and Satya herself are popping off. Microsoft in September promoted Xbox Chief Phil Spencer to Executive Vice President, reporting directly to Chief Executive Officer Satya Nadella, rather than the Windows Chief. In an interview, Mr. Spencer said his new role is designed in part to give him more latitude to reach gamers on any device rather than using, quote, gaming to make Windows more successful. That means one day, more Microsoft first-party games could appear on other platforms, he said, such as Apple's iPhones or perhaps even Sony's PlayStation 4, as its building game Minecraft does. Mr. Spencer acknowledged console sales are important, but said Microsoft is more focused on growing game software and services. He said the company measures the success of its gaming business by revealing the number of people who use its online service, Xbox Live, for example. This, of course, caused a hullabaloo, because people then started taking this quote, and even the article itself a little bit later on goes on to make it sound like, or I guess right there, that, you know, maybe an Xbox exclusive is coming to PlayStation one day, yada, yada, yada. People, of course, approached Phil on Twitter. Phil said, quote, "Today we ship Minecraft on other platforms. We all know that. No plans to expand this right now."
Yeah.
But again, talking about what we've talked about before, is if the Xbox as a box, as a console, can't turn it around, did they go third party? Do they just start publishing games? Do they want to go that way?
I mean, I can't imagine a future where that's the case. And I feel like that's easy to say now and looking back at Sega, who would have thought that at the time?
Right.
But I feel like there was more talk about Sega going down back then there is of Xbox,
sure,
because they're still doing very well. And when you look at it, with all of the services and all the talks, to me, what this is saying is, hey, we understand that we're not leading in hardware sales. We understand that we're not leading in software sales.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about that. We're not focusing on this. We're
sure.
focusing on
this. What's our metric for
this.
Success?
Yeah, our metric for success is the things that we're successful at right now. And like, that's a good PR spin, right?
Yeah.
And I think they're going down that. But it's like them talking about these first party games. I don't really read this as meaning that they're going to be on PlayStation. That doesn't sure. make sense. I don't really think that their kind of talent lies in their first party software development currently.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know how much there is to gain from them going multi-platform.
Here's what I'll do for you is that I think
paint a picture.
Earlier this year on Kind of Funny Games Daily, I forget what it was, but maybe I almost have it. Phil Spencer got promoted to the senior Microsoft council or some shit like that. You know, some kind of cloak and dagger society that meets in robes and stabs things. And when they put out the press release saying this stuff, not the stabbing part, just the promotion part. They didn't ever mention Xbox. It was very much that Phil was coming in to focus on the gaming of Microsoft or the future gaming of Microsoft and all these things. And I read it there and I said, that's a very interesting way to say this. Why aren't they saying Xbox? Is Microsoft's vision for gaming as a whole going forward a little bit more just games are games. And I think it was Andrew, whoever was co-hosting with me, was like, I don't read it that way. It's a Microsoft press release from the top. Of course, they're going to talk about Microsoft. They're talking about it as a company, not about their different platforms. Very could be true. Maybe I'm putting too much. I'm not trying to put two and two together here to say that's the same thing. But you bring up this thing of like their first party lineup isn't that strong. And I think most people would agree with you, right? I mean, there are exclusives coming, but in terms of wholly owned and operated Microsoft studios are putting stuff out, what are we getting? I think that's only half the picture. If Xbox was to leave the hardware business and say, hey, you know what? We're just going to publish games. Where the Xbox brand is Microsoft's brand for publishing video games going forward. I think you can open it up and see people like Cuphead that aren't first party. See people like Bluehole that are not first party. See these. I think that's where it gets really interesting, actually, is when you go out and say what traditionally we would call second party until Insomniac says that's dead. Nobody uses that. Partnering with third-party independent developers that you like, hey, you're making a game? Awesome. Let's buy it and we'll publish it and that's how we're going to make money going forward.
Absolutely. And that does open it up and that would be where the value is. And you're right. Like that would put Microsoft at such an advantage in terms of like bringing in money. But it's like, yeah, looking where they're at and with what they're doing with the Xbox One X, they're obviously invested in hardware.
100%.
And I do not see the Xbox One X failing by any metric. Will it be a massive success? I don't think so. But it definitely is going to make enough money to be worth it. And it's going to have enough of the market share and mind share to, you know, be a worthy investment. Something interesting here is the gaming to make Windows more successful is not the path that they're going down. And Windows has always been interesting to look at in the in relation to the Xbox, like at E3 the last couple of years, where it's like, it's really...
Look, it's Windows 10 running on an Xbox, kind of, or exactly. It's a version of that.
Or the games are also playable play with anywhere, the play Xbox titles. Play Anywhere and all that. And this is kind of saying that, like, okay, cool, we're hearing the gamers, they don't necessarily need that or want that, so we're going to rejigger it, give him a different title, give him a different focus. But what does this mean? Like, I do think it's jumping the gun to be like, even with what you're saying, that, oh, then they're just going to go to Sony. Like, that... I can't imagine a world where we just have one real console.
Yeah.
One main...
I agree.
You know, hardware-focused console world with Nintendo doing what they do on the other side.
It's just one of those things, and I know I say it too much, but it's the fact of there is... Oh, I say that too much, too. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, when you're trying to pick up speed, you're getting your grip, you're getting going. Microsoft is run by a board of directors. There's shareholders. There's all these different things. If they keep looking at it in the one part of that of Xbox that isn't making money is hardware, I feel like that's where they'd worry about it. And yeah. I'm not saying that's what's happening. Again, Xbox is doing well. It's not doing as well as PlayStation. But for a bean counter somewhere, for somebody who's just looking at profit loss statements and stock rises, when do you start saying... Because from the beginning, right, Microsoft was taking a fucking bath on the original Xbox. The OG Xbox.
Yeah.
At what point do you say, all right, this is cool and we've learned a lot of things, but we've learned that partnering with Bluehole is a way better strategy to make money off of video games. I don't think it's imminent at all.
No, I don't
think this is something we're worried about at all. And I don't even want that to happen. An interesting thing, actually, let me get to the question, unless you have something pertinent to say right now.
I'll go for it.
DRU87, a.k.a. Devin from Nashville, wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD, just like you can and said. On the eve of the Microsoft Xbox One X launch, the Wall Street Journal discussed how Microsoft's hopes for video game turnarounds hinge on the Xbox One X. Despite lagging behind PlayStation 4 sales at an almost 2-to-1 ratio, Xbox Live had 53 million active users at the end of Microsoft's fiscal first quarter, up 13% from a year earlier. And overall, gaming revenue increased by 1% to $1.9 billion. Microsoft seems to be doing everything right from a quality of life perspective, i.e. backwards compatibility, Games Pass, etc., but still hasn't caught fire mid-console generation like PlayStation 3 did. If you had one recommendation or idea for what Microsoft could do to turn things around, what would it be? You were all amazing this weekend at Extra Life. I love being part of such an awesome community and supporting the big, beautiful kids at the same time. #BellyShots.
Belly shots.
Remember when you did that?
I did.
That was disgusting in many, many ways. This was the point I was about to talk about. You had to go away last week. Couldn't do the Gamescast. You got sick.
Mm-hmm.
I did the Gamescast with the one and only Albert Pinello from Xbox. Delightful man. Straight shooter. Gave me all sorts of stuff. I think, and I'm not talking about Microsoft, I'm not talking about PlayStation, I'm talking about video game journalism, personality, hosting in general. You're never sure if you're going to get somebody on a show that you don't know, and they're going to be here's the corporate line, I'm not going to mention the competitor, but he was talking about, his history at Sega, his history at EA, what he thinks of PlayStation, where he is with PlayStation 4 Pro, Apple devices. He was all over them. He was like, hey,
awesome,
we're not going to sit here and be siloed and stupid. And he's not a suit at all. He was awesome. And that was his thing too, where he's like head of Xbox marketing. He's like, everybody hates the marketing guy. And I'm like, no, but it's like, because so many marketing people are that, that they won't say the name of their competitors. And everybody's like, that's just making it more obvious that you won't say the name of your competitor. What are you doing, right? He came on and killed it. And after the fact, I was sitting around, I think, with my good friend Kevin Coelho, maybe somebody else from around here, and we were talking about how great he was and all these different things, and I started pondering something that I've never thought of, and maybe it's just recently. With Xbox, if you looked at me, and we talk about this in the show too, if you look at me, right, I'm PlayStation fanboy number one, yada, yada, blah, 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 blah. I don't think I cheer as hard for anybody as I do Xbox. I hope Xbox turns this around and comes out strong and destroys stuff. Yeah, and that's the thing of just like what I said in that interview, what Devin says in his letter, right, is like they're doing everything so right now, and it feels so fucking shitty every time you talk about how great they're doing. but they're not doing as great as PlayStation.
Yeah.
And you talk about how this has all been a recovery from the release of the original Xbox One, mm-hmm. or the vision of the original Xbox One, because since that got announced, it's been off the rails, and they've had to turn that around and bring in Phil and do all this different stuff. What do they have to do to turn things around right now, Tim?
Games. I mean, that's really the answer. It's exclusive game experiences. Like, the PlayStation had those, and it always has had them. What PlayStation didn't have was a great online infrastructure, and it didn't have all these little bells and whistles last generation. And they're like, okay, we need to fix that. And they did fix that. And now there's like, they have the games and the infrastructure. Xbox has the infrastructure. It has these quality of life things. And it's not like it has no games. That is hyperbole and is an exaggeration. But it needs to have game exclusive games that speak to large different groups of people. When Cuphead is the only game that speaks to me this year, I'm going to play that game, and I fucking love that game. One of my games of the year. But how many people is Cuphead speaking to, right? Yeah. That takes a bit of the pie chart. Halo, Forza, Gears of War. You start looking a bit more and more. But those things, as those slices get smaller and smaller with each release in that franchise, and Sony's on the other side coming up with new things in addition to sequels, in addition to their versions of Cuphead, smaller games coming out, in addition to new ways of playing like VR and the PlayLink initiative and things like that. Like, I feel like that's what Microsoft needs. And I'm excited to hear that Phil Spencer is admitting there's a problem with the first party support and saying that we need to grow. We haven't invested the same level. We need to. And talking about acquiring talent and stuff, who could they acquire? Like, what could that look like? Because I feel like there is a lot of talent out there that would benefit from having Microsoft.
Sure.
On small levels, like you're talking about with Studio, MDHR, with Cuphead, but also going up. Imagine, and this is crazy, but imagine if Microsoft were to buy Bethesda. What would that look like if Bethesda games were exclusive on Xbox One? That's a crazy power move. It'd be very expensive. But I truly believe that those games would have the potential to sell better with the marketing budget and with the big push and with the fanboy pride of this is Xbox exclusive. Build the excitement of Wolfenstein 2. It's a Xbox game. You know, Prey. Right. It's an Xbox game. And those games are quality, but they have the sales problem of not having this huge push. And even when there is the marketing push for them, I do think that there is something about it being exclusive, being only available here. That yes, you're limiting the sales because it's not on different SKUs, but I think that you're creating an excitement to look forward to something.
Not to mention the fact that this puts them into a different spot now with the release of Xbox One X, where I feel like PlayStation 4 Pro gets released and hardcore PlayStation people like me, or even casual PlayStation people who just are part of the, at the time, what it would have been, less than right around 60 million, probably less than by the time when they announced it. But they're saying, hey, I already have PlayStation. That's cool. That's not for me, right? What do they need to be successful? How do they turn things around right now? The Xbox One X is a great step. Because all of a sudden you have this machine out there now that people do things powerful, do things cool, and is new. And if you can follow it up with, hey, in 2018, here are a bunch of cool games announcements that show you why you need it. I still think that PUBG is going to be huge for it this holiday.
Absolutely.
I still think PUBG on console is going to be a giant. I think there's people who are sitting there going like, well, Cuphead looks cool, and I know State of Decay 2 is coming, and I'm not going to listen to the hater reviews. I'm going to listen to my friend Greg Miller and say, Quantum Break sounded cool. I want to play that. Like, there's a back catalog of Xbox One games there that if you want to are interesting, but giving you a promise of the future is even more interesting. Let alone that, hey, here's this device that if you have picked up a 4K TV, puts out true 4K visuals and all that crap that I don't know anything about.
Mm-hmm.
They have something out there that people don't already own. If you are just a PlayStation 4 household and suddenly the Xbox One X is out there, you're like, oh, one day I want to pick that up. And now you just need the games and the titles to say, make that day today. Or
yeah. I don't know. I don't know that there is turning it around to solve these problems this generation.
Sure.
I definitely think it's getting things in place for next gen, and that is hard.
Yeah.
And who knows when next gen is coming, if it even is in whatever form that it comes. Like, this is a question that we constantly ask ourselves every couple years of just like, is this the last generation? And it's like, no, it's not. But what does it look like next time? Like, what does the PS5 look like? What does the next Xbox look like? And I don't know. There's a lot of questions there. And I think that Xbox is in a bad place only in the sense that they're not winning. They're in a great place otherwise. 100%. And I'm sure they're very happy with their output and what they're getting back.
Yeah. It's going to be really fascinating to see what happens in the next couple of years. And also, they need to just announce that they've hired Amy Hennig. Hey, everybody, we've hired her. She's making, in this say, where she's making Xbox's Uncharted.
She's making a single player game.
Yeah.
That would be a fucking huge message.
Pull like Kojima, right? And then just put her on a team or pair her up with somebody. I don't know who you could put her up with. That'd be, I don't know. That's a question for another time. Number two. Resi 7 sales are doing quite well, Tim.
Ooh.
Resident Evil 7, if you didn't know. I thought, are you not mad at that anymore? Resi 7 used to get...
I am mad at it. I don't like it.
I'm only doing it to anger you. So if you give me no reaction, people think I say RE7 weird. We're saying like the British people. Anyways, IGN reports Resident Evil 7 Biohazard has sold 4.1 million copies as of September 30th. Capcom revealed the figure as part of the latest financial results, which show Resident Evil 7 is now tied with Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate, Monster Hunter 4, and Street Fighter 2 Turbo as the publisher's seventh best-selling game of all time. Resident Evil 5 remains atop the list with 7.2 million units sold.
Man, those are some numbers.
Yeah, right.
Like, that puts things in perspective, tying it at seventh best-selling game of all time for them.
Yeah. I wouldn't have guessed that Resident Evil 5 was atop the list.
Well, Resident Evil 5 and 6 both sold really well.
Yeah.
Like, the more action-y ones,
yeah.
Which is, like, in direct contradiction to what people...
Yeah, the people's...
The vocal people.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good for them. That's great. I love Resident Evil 7, and I'm happy that it's doing well for them, because I hope that it's a good sign going forward. Capcom's in a weird place. Like, Capcom is in a very disappointing place, honestly. I don't like how they're handling their catalog of IP, and I think that the all their comments about the Switch recently are tone deaf and just show a lack of understanding of where the gaming landscape is right now. And even looking at what their output is on the main consoles,
sure,
gets weird, because it's like, cool, we're going to make these fighting games that speak to a very specific audience and kind of fuck them up for the rest of the people with Marvel's Capcom Infinite and Street Fighter 5 and Monster Hunter. Cool, that's going to keep coming, that's been coming, but it's like the rest of the franchises, there's so many questions. Where's Devil May Cry? Where is Mega Man? Where is Onimusha? Which I understand that's kind of a joke, but there is so many things where Capcom is beloved. Capcom means something. Capcom should be...
Don't you think that Capcom meant something?
Well, that's the thing, is they do still make really good games. Sure. They do make games that can sell very well. But then you see them put out a port of Street Fighter 2 on the Switch, and it's just like, this is lazy and uninspired in a time and place where Nintendo has a console that people are excited about, and anything you put on it, it's going to sell.
Yeah.
So you're going to put this on it? Put your best foot forward. Like, do something. Build a new a new IP. Do something on it that is going to excite people, instead of, here's Evil Ryu and Violent Ken.
Yeah.
Are you fucking kidding me? Like, Capcom is AAA, can be AAA. Where is that? Why aren't we seeing that? And it's like, when they do that, they get big sales numbers. Resident Evil 5 being in the with 7.2 million, that shows that they can still fucking sell games and make games on a big scale.
True. Yeah. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see what happened. There was that rumor a couple weeks ago, right, that like Capcom was, somebody was trying to buy Capcom or whatever, and it was, you could see it, even though it was like not a reputable source and nobody else really talking about it. It was that thing of, yeah, Capcom doesn't seem like they're making the best decisions, right? So where would that end up?
Yeah,
I want, you know, it's one of those, I could believe it, unlike right now how I want to believe this Rocksteady Superman rumor.
Yeah,
but I'll wait until, you know what I mean, like Game Informer will put out their cover soon. We'll see.
Yeah, the last thing I want to say about Capcom is, to me, do they mean something or meant something? I feel like Capcom is one of the few third parties that never had an E3 press conference. It never did its own thing. They had their Capcom days or whatever the fuck, but like they never had they'll have their like Street Fighter focused things. But like Capcom doesn't have, it's E3 week, here's 30 minutes of us telling you about our lineup, which allowed them to have exciting moments at the big press conferences. Sure. And I feel like we haven't got that for way too long now. And it's just like, God, guys.
I mean, some people say Monster Hunter at PlayStation's conference was huge.
Yeah.
If you're a Monster Hunter fan. Mm-hmm. But I understand what you mean. It's not like when we were watching PSX and it was like, is this an Onimusha trailer? Are they fucking about
it's to bring not back that. Yeah. Dino Crisis. They have just so many IP that like whether or not they're actually good IP, we can fix them now. You know, we can put out a new version, reboot. Again, new IP, whatever it is. I don't know.
Don't get sad. It's okay.
I am sad.
We have more happy video game news. Number three. I remember a while back, on this show, we talked about how in Australia they were trying out an unlimited games pass over at GameStop, where you could come in, buy one thing, trade it back and forth nonstop. That apparently is real, according to an ad found by some folks over at Reset Era. It's called GameStop Power Pass Unlimited. Basically, the ad
rolls
shows
off the tongue.
It does. For six months for $60. So $60 gets you 6 months. You get any pre-owned game you want. You swap in and out. So basically, you can have one game out at a time. $60. Come in and out. Trade out your games. Apparently, November 19th, the signups are going to start for you to get a part of that.
Ooh.
I like it.
Yeah, cool.
You know what I mean, it's very much what when I signed up at Blockbuster for unlimited rentals for a summer or whatever, and I could trade in one game, come back and do it.
Yeah,
I like it on the idea that you're gonna get to play a lot of stuff. It's a good value for you with pre-owned games. It's the normal problem of like pre-owned kind of sucks. It's shitty to do to developers, but if you want to play more and you weren't gonna buy those games any other way, you talking about them, promoting them, tweeting about them, having just good feelings about a developer or a franchise, that helps and that does benefit people. I also like it from the business side of it, of getting people into a GameStop day after day, week after week. Like as somebody who grew up and enjoyed going to the comic shop weekly, walking into Funko Land and just bullshitting around with the people who were working behind the counter and having fun, the idea of GameStop becoming, in at least a little bit, a less, for some people, corporate, whatever, sanitized video games, and it is like, hey, I'm coming in and trading this out. What did you think of that? Blah, blah, blah. And somebody else is doing it. And you're talking to them about that. Getting gamers together to talk about games outside of a
community
PAX or
stuff.
Something. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see how it works. And I'm sure there'll be problems and stuff. But I do think that at the end of the day, more options to be able to play games is a good thing.
Yeah.
And if it's not for you, it's not for you. That's fine.
Yeah.
You know, it's the digital era now and things are
different.
Hell
yeah, it is.
But if you still enjoy physical things and you do enjoy going to the store and this allows you to try things you might not have tried, cool.
It just brings back, for me, I guess it's nostalgia of riding my bike to Blockbuster to trade in for another game during the summer and go back. You know what I mean? I can see people doing that. That's it. Tim?
Yeah.
Sometimes I think about going back and playing that Resident Evil 7. I think maybe the DLC will get me in. Not a hero. Chris Redfield, you know?
Not a hero.
But it's so far away. If I want to know what I could play in the digital mom and grop shops today, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Yeah. One game out today, apparently.
One.
Ghosts in the Toy Box, Chapter 1.
Cool.
On PlayStation VR. Sounds like a winner. New dates for you. There's now officially going to be a PSVR Skyrim bundle for $450 out in November with the game. You'll get the VR, the camera, two moves, and Skyrim for $450. Then coming to PlayStation VR in winter 2018 is Out of Ammo. And then Bungie is updating the PC version of Destiny 2. There's going to be a hot fix coming tomorrow, November 6th. That might be today, actually. The patch aims to fix the hitching issues that popped up in Destiny 2's PC version after the release of 1.0.6.1. Fucking PC nerds, you know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
I don't even know what they call my patches. They just fucking install them, and that's great sometimes, and then it corrupts saves other times. Who knows? Pregnant pause. It's a pregnant pause for you audio listeners. I always like to keep you on your toes while you're driving around. Timbuktu. I was today over on the subreddit for Kind of Funny. Guy posted a photo of him listening while he's like tilling the fields or whatever on his tractor. And so where do you guys all listen to it? And it's just like all audio people. So I got to start putting in more audio pregnant pauses to really fuck with these people.
I get,
who are trying to do their work or drive around or whatever.
People you got to make them be like, what's going on?
What's going on? I don't know anything happened.
Why are they so quiet?
Time for reader mail. Mail call. All that jazz. Where do I want to start?
I want to start at the top.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Ignacio Rojas. Says, hello, Kind of Funny. Gosh darn it. So BioWare just posted in its Twitter account, tomorrow, hashtag, it's 10-7, but lowercase T-E, capital N-7. It's N-7 day tomorrow. It's November 7th.
Okay.
Usual BioWare thing. Tomorrow, hashtag 10-7, with a GIF of N-7-10. What do you think this could be teasing? Could it be the long-rumored next-gen collection? Keep up the awesome work. Ignacio Rojas. So no.
Is this the 10th anniversary of Mass Effect?
That makes sense to me. It's the usual thing with this show. Again, the internet's garbage today, so I put that one down. I'm like, I need to check on that. Kevin, give me a check. When did the original Mass Effect come out? I'm assuming, yeah.
It came sounds
out.
Right.
Yeah, it's the 10th 2007. N7 day. Yeah, no, it totally makes sense. Of yeah, we'd be
yeah.
Worried. Yeah. 2007, but that wouldn't be released.
Well, no, but like I think this is the 10th N7 day.
Since they,
which
like
would
the,
be, that was it. A release year.
Sure. No, I don't expect it to be the collection. I don't expect it to be anything major. I think it's just, hey, it's the 10th and 7th day, and we're going to do something fun.
Well, I wonder what they're going to do, though. Yeah. I mean, like, I also...
It is?
November 20th
2007 was the first one.
November 20th, 2007. God. It's crazy. Yeah.
That's weird.
What?
Tomorrow's November
7th.
But it's every... N7. Every yeah, since the release, every November 7th is N7.
Got it. Day. Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
So it's yes. Like, I guess makes sense. The year one they must.
It was the first year, but yeah. So I also don't necessarily think they're gonna announce that, but I do think it's weird for them to tease something for tomorrow because this is the type of thing. If there wasn't anything, wouldn't just tomorrow they'd be like it's N7 day?
I mean, well, it's that weird thing is like N7 day used to be a big deal without anything really getting announced. It was just like, oh, holy shit, it's N7. But granted, more people were thinking of the trilogy and into that thing and more, you know, maybe more positive about Mass Effect than they are right now. I just think, I mean, it's the same thing we do, right? We promote when a new show or shirt's going to drop the next day. I think it's just, hey, heads up that tomorrow is an anniversary day, so you remember it so that whenever they put out whatever they're putting out tomorrow.
Yeah.
I don't know, a message from the devs of video. It's just like, well, hey, cool. We're all celebrating this community that's still happening. Cool. But I would not get your hopes up that it's going to be the collection you've all been waiting for. Trevor writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, what's the next big release for the Switch now that Mario is out? Can't wait for Rocket League. It's great. It's great for just jumping in and out. Doom is going to hit soon. But other than that, what should we be looking forward to, Tim?
Well, November is the month of third parties
okay.
for the Nintendo Switch. There's a lot of ports. It is LA Noir.
Oh.
It is Rocket League. It is Doom.
Yeah.
It is Skyrim.
Gotcha.
It is Sonic Forces.
Which I hear is great.
No.
No, that's wrong? I'm sorry.
No, not great. Not great at all.
Back to a traditional Sonic game.
Those are... Yeah. God damn. So that's where we're at with the Switch. In addition to that, a little further from that, we got December, which will be Xenoblade. And the big question here is The Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild, Champion's Ballad DLC.
Right.
Where is it going to fit? Is it going to be December or is it going to be November? It's going to be this year, which means it's one of those 2 months. Tomorrow, we got a Xenoblade Chronicles 2 Nintendo Direct. In the wording of it, it said they're doing a Direct about Xenoblade, but it didn't say only Xenoblade. So there is a chance that they'll also drop and Zelda DLC coming, and here's the date. We know the Amiibos are coming on November 12th, so that could be a couple days away.
Okay.
We'll see, and that would be the answer.
Do we really not know the release date for Champions Ballad?
Mm-mm.
Really?
Mm-mm.
Because we have a question here saying it's Friday. And that sounded right.
The Amiibos come out Friday.
Oh, but so is the rumor that it would come out with then?
I mean, there's not a rumor. It's like put two and two together. That makes sense.
Okay. Okay.
That's what I'm saying. I imagine that there is a possibility that at tomorrow's Direct for Xenoblade, they will be like, and to get you, like, before you play Xenoblade, here's the DLC. November 12th.
Okay.
Or it could just come out in December. But it's this year.
So. Well, you stumbled into two other questions here.
Good at that.
For the Nintendo Switch. First off, are you worried that there's not more for the... Are you happy with that lineup for the rest of the Switch
year? We're in coast mode. Are you kidding me? Like with Black Friday and stuff? I feel like it would be a bad decision for Nintendo to drop a big thing the rest of this year. I think Xenoblade, that's good. There's going to be something for the hardcore. Zelda DLC, great, awesome. Give the people that bought Zelda and think of it as a Zelda machine back in March, give them a reason to come back that's not Mario. And otherwise, just let's sell more Switches into the wild, get them out Black Friday, get them out for the holidays, and then let's come out swinging in early 2018.
Hold on, we're having another Apollo 13 nose moment.
Yeah.
No! No! I'm not going to sneeze! Ah!
There it goes. 3, 4, 5. Bless you.
Thank you.
But yeah, do you agree with me with that?
No, I agree 100%. Yeah, that I'm not like, he's like, oh, you know, like, what's the... I guess he's not even saying it in like a doom and gloom way. He's just saying, what's the next big release?
Yeah, because I think that the third party thing's important. It's like, cool, great, let's get it out. And let's just... There's a whole bunch of shit that if you haven't played these already, do it. If you have already played them and want to play them again portably, do it. Otherwise, it's like, yeah, we got Mario. That should last you a while if you're already done with that. Like, what I will say, though, that is doom and gloom is if Nintendo doesn't fucking have a real Direct that's not a game-specific one in December or what I expect more likely January, then there's going to be problems. Okay. We need to know more about 2018. We need to have a bit more on the little, like the breadcrumbs, because just knowing that Yoshi and Kirby are 2018, that ain't enough for me.
Yeah. That makes the most sense to me too. And yeah, for me, the rest of the year, is first off Mario. Like I was telling you, I beat it yesterday, and then the immediate world that unlocks after that. I was like, I'm going to beat this, and then I'm going to start Horizon Zero Dawn, or the DLC. And I was like, and I beat it, and I was like, I got it. And I put like 30 or 45 minutes in before I was like, I'm getting on a plane to Maryland on Friday. I'll play it all day there. Let's not spoil it right now, even though I want to go back and get every moon. Mm-hmm. But if it is that thing that times out where it's like Mario and then Zelda, and then for me personally, out of his games here, the next is Rocket League, where I think we're going to play a lot of Rocket
League. That's like a week away.
I know. 17th. It's coming up quick.
2 weeks away.
Anyways, Sean Sweeney wrote in as well. Says, Dear Greg and Tim, Xenoblade Chronicles 2 Direct is tomorrow, and I cannot be more excited for the game. Are you doing some kind of weird watch-along for this one, or is it you don't care that much about this one?
I need to look at the time. I don't care.
Oh, wait, though. You're doing stuff tomorrow, though, right?
Oh, you're right, I can't.
Yeah, okay. But no one seems to be talking about it after all the attention Nintendo is putting into this game. And this game deserves all the attention it is given. The story will be on par with Xenoblade Chronicles 1, and the world exploration will be akin to Xenoblade Chronicles X, which, in my opinion, rivaled Zelda Breath of the Wild as the most awe-inspiring world for a Nintendo console exclusive game. My question is this: what will it take to be shown in this direct for more people to discover this game? Do you think a demo of Xenoblade Chronicles 2 would help the Kinda Funny Games crew and others to anticipate this game as if it was Zelda Breath of the Wild 2.0 for 2017? Thanks and love the show, Sean.
I don't think there's much they can do. I think that they're doing all the right moves that they can. Would a demo help? Sure. Is it really worth it? I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what it goes into making a demo and releasing it and all that stuff. Like, I do think a demo would allow people that would never play it to give it a try, and then maybe they'll get into it. But historically, demos of RPGs are hard because you're just dropped into this world. The battle system's confusing. The story is like, what the fuck's going on, right? Now, the exception to that, Project Octopath Traveler recently was fucking great, but that was meaty. Like, that was a lot of game. I don't care about Xenoblade. Yeah. It's a little too much in the anime JRPG looking feeling style thing, and I know I'm hypocritically saying that,
of course,
loving Final Fantasy,
aren't we all, though?
But it's just like, it's not for me. I do think they're doing a good job of speaking to who it is for, and I think that with the excitement around the Switch, it will sell better than the other ones did. So I think Nintendo's doing a good job, especially with how they focused on it in the last direct, giving it its own direct. If they didn't give it its own direct, which I was a little worried about, that would have been bad. But no, they're giving this thing some love.
Xenoblade Chronicles, to me, falls into when people are concerned about playing Persona or playing any other franchise that's been going on forever, where I'm just like, I've never gotten into a Xenoblade Chronicles game. I don't think, or a Xenoblade game. I don't think I could pick them out of a lineup, probably, if you put a bunch of similar looking games there.
There's only been two.
Really? Yeah.
It gets
talked about so much.
The Xeno Saga, the Xeno Gears. This is not that at all.
Okay.
Xenoblade Chronicles was on the Wii.
Yeah.
And then Xenoblade X was on the Wii U.
And that's when we made Nick review.
Yes. And then they re-released Xenoblade Chronicles on the new 3DS, but it was just a port. And then now this is a sequel.
I think more than anything, what it would need then is for people to watch the direct with an open mind, right? Because for me, when that name comes around, I'm just like, I've had it on both the Wii and Wii U for different things and been told it's good, but there's a million other things to play, so I've just moved on. So for me, in my head, that's into a bucket of games where it's just like, that's not for me. It's passed me by.
Mm-hmm.
But if I watch the direct tomorrow and like what I see, maybe I jump on. But that's the big thing, that you have to sit there and commit to it and try and get outside of your comfort zone.
I mean, also, these games don't, not only do they not demo well, I don't think they video demo well either. Watching that, they focused on it for so long in the last direct, and as someone that's not a fan, I'm like, this doesn't mean anything to me. There's just characters saying things that have no
point,
weight to them, and like flashy spells and action and shit. I'm like, I don't know what the fuck's happening.
All right, here's what I want to do. Stick with me. I know how the audience feels, and when I mean audience, I mean a few vocal kids who get mad when we talk about the Switch too much in a row.
You're the vocal kids?
Yeah, but I mean, so this is not just a Switch conversation. Stick with me. Rob5987 says, so Horizon releases on 2/8/28, and Zelda releases 3 days later on March 3rd. Now the Horizon DLC releases tomorrow, and the new Breath of the Wild amiibo releases 3 days later on Friday. Coincidence, or is Nintendo trying to keep Zelda in the conversation whenever Horizon is around?
Nintendo is absolutely trying to fuck Horizon. No, I'm kidding. No, of course not.
They're out there to get them, you know what I mean?
No.
I think this is more, again, for both, and I assume I'm with you that I really do think, I was kind of just under the impression Breath of the Wild's DLC does come on Friday, But you're right. It's just this holiday when I look it up and all these different things. Both Horizon and Zelda are doing a fantastic job of capturing conversation and then reminding you of it for Game of the Year. I think that's the how many times, like, literally Resident Evil 7 came out this fucking year. I cannot get over that when we talk about it. The Resident Evil 7 came out this year because that feels like a lifetime ago.
Yeah.
But knowing, you know, jumping back into Horizon, and I was reading Lucy's review on IGN. It's like 15 hours apparently. Like, I'm gonna be back into a game that I put all this time into forever ago and playing it now, and then at the end of the year thinking about it again. And it's interesting because you figure, for me personally, it's my games of the year right now shortlist is Mario, Horizon, and Zelda. So now to have, I'm going to be very up to date on all three of those as I go to the ballot box and when we have our conversations. Like, that's an awesome idea, and that's a great way to do it. And I don't think it's that Zelda's targeting Horizon, because I don't think Zelda really gives a shit about Horizon.
I don't think that they're competing with each other. I think that the people, you're either a PlayStation guy, a Nintendo guy, or both. If you're both, you're a fucking winner. You get two of the best games ever made.
Yeah.
Otherwise, like, it's just, those things aren't going to affect each other.
Yeah, 100%. I think it's just marketing and being smart, not even marketing in like a weird way. Back to Albert's point that everybody hates the marketing guy. You say marketing, it sounds bad.
Yeah.
I think it's just being smart about how do we get our games back into the conversation as people head to the stores on Black Friday. Because people are going to buy a PlayStation. They are going to buy Horizon. They are going to buy Switches. They are going to buy Zelda.
Mm-hmm.
Let's give them a reason to talk about it. But enough mentioning the Switch. Davey B writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, is anyone else going to PSX 17? Yes, we are. I'll be there. Joey will be there. Andy Cortez will be there. Can't announce plans for anything I may or may not be doing there outside of, we've already confirmed, Portillo's meet and greet Sunday night in mm-hmm. Buena Park, which is not far from the Anaheim Convention Center. And then what we're going to do, and I urge you to do, is Monday morning, wake up, change your flights to fly out of San Diego. We're all going down to San Diego. We're going to Polite Provisions that night. We are doing the first ever Kind of Funny Community in-person Christmas party. Bad, ugly Christmas sweaters at Polite Provisions. We want you to bring White Elephant gift exchange things, $25 or less. We'll all give them away. Drink a bunch of cocktails, and then we all fly out Tuesday morning. Get back to life.
Love it.
How's that sound?
Sounds fantastic.
You like that one? Good. Mm-hmm. Matt A. Plays writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, is it just layoff season? After hearing about Runic Games shutdown, I began thinking that a lot of studios have had significant layoffs or have been shuttered recently. Here's what I found in the last month or so. September 27th. Volition lays off about 30 people following Agents of Mayhem. October 10th, Disruptor Beam lays off 30 to 40 people, about 30% of the staff following The Walking Dead release. October 17th, Visceral Closure, about 80 people laid off, game refocused. October 19th, Harmonix lays off 17 people following Drop Mix, second round of layoffs this year. October 30th, CCP Atlanta closed, Newcastle for sale, Shanghai reduced, about 100 people affected, refocusing from VR to PC and mobile. November 3rd, Motiga. How do I not know that word, but you and Janina get it? You both nailed it. And then I look at it, I'm like, yeah, Motiga, but I can't get there. Significant layoffs. Cut gigantic to core team. Number 3, Runic Closure. Perfect World still owns Runic, closed only this location. Matt A. picks back up and says, is this normal? Are layoffs just hitting harder this year? Here's the thing, Matt A. plays. Layoffs, sadly, are very common and normal. Part of the video game industry. Because what do you look at the majority of people you listed, right? Volition, right after Agents of Mayhem. Disruptor, right after The Walking Dead. Harmonix, right after Drop Mix. You're talking these games when you're getting ready to ship and you're crushing bugs, people ramp up the team because that's how games work, and then the game's finished and they cut down the team. It used to, in my opinion, be way worse. Where it did really feel like, hey, Game X has gone gold next week. All right, they've laid off 40 people. And layoffs sound horrible because they are, obviously, and people tear up their lives, but we play fast and loose with the term in the way that I do think a lot of these are contractor positions, and not everyone. If you're somebody who's listening, a developer who's been laid off in one of these things, first off, hope you land on your feet. Not everybody's a contractor, but it is, you're bringing people on to finish a project, and then that project ends and you ramp back down, because as you've heard people talk about on how you make a game, right? Pre-production is, we're working on an idea, what's it going to be? And then you slowly start building. But you don't need the person who polishes the level and makes sure everything works in the very beginning when it's all wireframe and Maya.
Yeah.
Like, that's not how, from what I understand, and somebody's welcome to write in to kindoffunny.com/KDGF. That's not right either.
KFGD.
I feel like I'm having a stroke all of a sudden. kind of funny, goddamn. Yeah, I was all over the place. Anyways, And tell me if you're a developer and I got that wrong, but that's the way I've always understood it. I feel like in the past 4 years, based solely on news stories and the hubbub you hear about, it's gotten better. Because I do remember at IGN when it did seem like it was just like boom, boom, boom. People, every year after a game went gold or got released, people just getting let go. Am I wrong?
No, that sounds right. And I also think that it's the trends of the industry where you look at this and, yeah, a lot of these things are VR focused or focused on trends that aren't really relevant anymore. Like you look at like Harmonix, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah, and that's the other thing to take into it, right? Where Harmonix, with all due respect to people at Harmonix, I feel like Harmonix is just a ship adrift and then it's only a matter of time before they're sunk. I think Rock Band 4 was, hey, we're trying to go back to what works. Man, it's a different thing. This drop mix thing, I played at Judges Week and I was like, this isn't a fun game. Like, I don't enjoy this. I don't understand. So I don't think you have to worry about them in terms of that. Both Motiga and Runic, right, are part of the Perfect World stuff where they're sitting there trying to fix. Perfect World is rumajiggering an entire company and figuring out how they want to do things and where they want to go. Same thing with CCP, where it's like, all right, cool. We've tried VR. We've tried Dust 514. We've tried a whole bunch of things. But let's get back to the core business and worry about now PC and mobile. Like, that's a vision thing, whereas, like, really it seems like, yeah, Volition with it. And Agents of Mayhem, of course, the game that is underperformed and everybody was like, what is this game? Nobody wants it. Disruptor with the Walking Dead game, like, I guess, was that, which one was that? Was that that? I don't even remember which Walking Dead that is, to be honest. So there's a huge problem with somebody who loves Walking Dead. It's some of it, in like Visceral, obviously, has been well documented. It's not what it used to be, where it used to be, hey, Call of Duty or Activision or whoever, they put out their game and now they're laying off a ton of people. Yeah. It seems like people have stabilized on, here's what we need.
Here's how we do this.
Let's keep everybody employed 365 days a year rather than just, you know, ballooning and cutting. Tim, I'm going to squad you up right now.
Oh, squad me up.
This is where one of you writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD. You give me your name, your username, your platform of choice, and why you need help. I read it here on the show. The best friends come and find you and play games with you. Today, Jake from Missouri needs help on PlayStation 4. His PSN is Hawkman08, all one word. I'm new to writing in, and well, I don't know how the hell to join one of the Kinda Funny 2 Destiny clans. I'm sorry, Kinda Funny Destiny 2 clans. So please help me out. It says all of them are private or filled, or maybe I'm just stupid, but I'm sick of playing alone, and I want some best friends to play with. Thanks for all you guys do. It makes school much more tolerable. If you're playing Destiny 2 on PlayStation 4 and have a clan that you think Kinda Funny best friends should join, hit up Hawkman08. That's Jake from Missouri. Hope he went to school in Missouri at Mizzou. Tim, are you gathering you're wrong right now?
I am.
How are we doing?
This is exactly what my fear was, and I love that this is the case. But Marcus corrects us. Satya Nadella is a man, not a woman.
My
God damn it.
I thought I remember, and I mean, I'm clearly wrong, but I thought it was that I remember the Bloomberg story referring to him as her.
Phil Spencer's promotion Greg was talking about as executive vice president of gaming.
Where? On the board?
Yeah.
He got appointed to a board. I wasn't talking about his title at Microsoft.
Got it.
There was a story we did on Games Daily where he got promoted to a board.
Hi, guys. Just
I'll
let you know.
I'll say bored more now. Bored.
Crazy Dogs says, just let you know, Greg said Rocket League release date is the 17th, but it's actually the 14th.
Goo!
Thank you for the hard work. So I was closer to right with a week away.
So it is just a week away?
Yes.
I can get excited to play Rocket League.
Get excited, Greg.
Get hype.
Get hype.
My LaCroix moment. Mm-hmm. That was it? Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Other than totally not understanding a CEO of Microsoft's gender. But I mean, you know, other than that, it was great.
We assumed his gender.
We fucking nailed it. Well, again, I didn't assume. I thought I had it down.
I knew I didn't know. So I asked questions.
You know what? Let's just.
We got answers.
Everybody's going to be called an it from now on the show. You happy?
It's it.
It's it. What is it?
Yeah. It's there you go.
You remember that song, right? Faith Epic. No More. Here's what I want to tell you. A long time ago, Tim, you and I had a conversation that we'll now share with the best friends.
Uh-oh.
When we were going to hit 100,000 subs on Kinda Funny, we were like, we need to make a video to promote it and be excited. And I was like, what we need to do is get Faith No More to come sing, to film the It's It ice cream sandwich music video with us. Because there's an ice cream sandwich famous here in San Francisco called It's It. And Faith No More is from San Francisco. So I've had a long-running theory without doing any research, and I don't want you to write in with the real research, that Faith No More song, It's It, is about the ice cream sandwich.
Yeah.
And I was like, at 100,000 subs, we hit them up. We're like, hey, and we just go around San Francisco filming songs about ice cream sandwiches. And you said, that'll never work. And then we got busy, and I forgot. Maybe we'll do it for 100 million.
There was also an episode of the Game Over Grey show that you presented the argument that The Walking Dead is going to be the next Star Wars. And I thought you were a fucking idiot then.
Yeah.
And goddamn, it's 2017 and I still think you're a fucking
idiot.
What
are you talking about? Look at how many iterations there are. Yeah, it's everywhere. You can't get away from it.
No, it's true. It's true. Next Star Wars. The next Star Wars.
I'm just saying, well, I mean, like, Star Wars, the tide's turning on them anyway. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. People aren't as into it anymore, so how do you feel about that?
You're right, yeah.
First Walking Dead movie. Down. When there's the first Walking Dead movie, we'll see who's fucking laughing.
We'll see
who's fucking laughing. In 30 years, when our kids are talking about how terrible the Walking Dead prequels were, we'll see who's laughing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I usually like to keep the big topics for Gamescast.
Mm-hmm.
But Gamescast lately has just been, hey, let's just fucking talk about what we're playing, right? Mm-hmm. So, Tim, I'm introducing a new segment to you. It's called The Big Fucking Question.
Big fucking question.
This one comes from, what's up?
What's up?
Kinda Funny Homies, it's Malcolm, or my online alias, Beta. Hey, Beta.
Beta 64? No, not Beta 64. Beta, B-A-Y-T-U-H.
That's him?
Shout out for you. You're always in the comments, and I appreciate you a lot.
I kinda have a thought-provoking question. Which of the big three, Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo, has done more to better the games industry, or who's had the most influence? This can be from games, hardware, online services, or how we play and share games. Thank you for all you do and keep up the great work. You feel like wrestling on that one here?
The not fun answer is Nintendo.
Sure.
I mean, okay, cool. D-pad, analog stick, video games, you know, Mario, Zelda, how games are played, all this stuff. Sure. Cool. Great.
But
the more
PlayStation
fun answer,
brought trophies.
The more fun answer, I'd want to have Microsoft at least be in the conversation.
Online services.
Because of online services,
sure.
Because of achievements, because of the store and all of that. And I think that stuff really did change video games. And that era was the tipping point into taking video games from being a thing for fucking nerds into being a thing for fucking mainstream. And when you look at sales numbers like we were talking about earlier with Capcom, and it's like, holy shit. Resident Evil 7 is tied with some of Capcom's best-selling games, including Super Street Fighter 2.
Yeah.
Like, that is insane that the inflation and the level of games being sold now, being played now, is so much higher than before. And it's because of things like online, and it's because of things of like people playing together and making the video games way more of an experience, making consoles way more of a device for your life instead of just for video games. And that needs to be brought up, but the answer is Nintendo.
Yeah, I feel like that's the thing, is I feel like we could hang our hats on a lot of different points. Like, even what you're saying, online for sure is Xbox. I'm not trying to get in the way of that. But like PlayStation, I think PS1 really being like, we're putting them on discs. It's going to be cheaper, and we're going to have games like Metal Gear. And I think of the PlayStation 1 as that console that, like, granted, now it's completely different, but like the bridge between video games being games, even though, don't get me wrong, there's plenty of Nintendo games wrestling with mature themes and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. But
Banjo-Kazooie.
Of course. Conker's Bad Fur Day. Mm-hmm. Bringing it over to being like something you can play as a teenager, as an adult, and say like, hey, there's something happening here. This is entertainment, not just a game, if that makes sense. It's not just about coins or high scores. It is, hey, here's the story. And it's easier to express to your friends and have them sit down and watch Metal Gear or Final Fantasy and understand, even if they don't get the mechanics of the game, that something's happening here on that way.
Yeah.
But I'm with you 100% that if I think the boring answer is Nintendo, because they kind of gave us everything.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's that question of, they gave us everything, right? And he's talking about like who's had the most influence, is how he phrases the question, right? Nintendo's influenced everything from the ground up.
And they've been around longest.
Yeah.
Like, just by default, it has to be them, because not only have they been around, they've been doing things.
Yeah.
Doing good things.
Yeah, innovation.
They've innovated in good and bad ways. You know, like you look at the Wii, and like, regardless of people's opinion on it, the Wii changed things.
Sure. Ladies and gentlemen, I want your answer to this question, because again, it's thought-provoking. It's more than I want to wrestle with right now, but I wanted to present it out there. Everybody make your cases in a timely 140-character fashion. You can write in kindoffunny.com/KFGD tomorrow. Andrea Renee joins me to host. We'll go through your responses, hear what she has to say about fucking mobile games, I'm sure. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
Andrea! Oh my God! But until then, remember, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about before jumping in, giving you perspective, answering your questions, reading bad PSN names, and having a conversation with you, our best friends. If you like that, you can watch live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. You can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. And you can listen on podcast services around the globe, no matter where you listen or watch. Thank you so much for your support, even if you're driving a tractor out in Australia. Mm-hmm. Remember, be part of the show, kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Can't do it without you. If you think we're doing a great job, go over to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Give us a couple bucks. But until next time, no, it's been our pleasure to serve you.